Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Living and Walking by Faith. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 4, verse 19, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
When I got saved, I remember my dad, you know, God bless him. I mean, he's a different man today, but back then he was like, oh, yes, I went through that same phase when I was your age. Yeah, a few months down the road and you'll pass through that phase. Few years passed and I was still in the phase, and 10 years passed and I was still in the phase, and after about 15 years he started listening to me. This is a long phase. But your family will try to talk you out of your faith, and sometimes even well-meaning fellow believers will try to talk you out of your faith. I've seen it so many times. God's spoken to somebody something significant, something powerful, and they're laying hold of that promise. They're believing that God's calling them or something like that. And, you know, some well-intended believer will come along and just, oh, you know, come on now. The Lord, now that wasn't the Lord. I mean, you know, the Lord, he doesn't work like that today. Or, you know, no, the Lord couldn't use you to do that, you know, no, that's for somebody else. And they're well-intended, but they have no faith. They have general faith. They have enough faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, so they're saved. They're going to go to heaven. But they don't have enough faith to believe that God's actually working today. And so when somebody says, you know, I feel like God's calling me to, you know, leave my profession, I think God wants to call me to the mission field. Oh, no, yeah, that's crazy. You know, you can't do that. No, just stay where you're at. You got a good job. You make good money. Just give some money to the mission field. That's good enough. And I don't know why people do stuff like that, but they do it. A young person, you know, maybe out of high school, maybe a year into college or something, they come home and they tell their parents, you know, Mom and Dad, I've been seeking the Lord. And, you know, these are Christian parents. They prayed for the kid from the time he was born and wanted him to serve the Lord. And kid comes home and says, you know, I'm at college. I just don't have a vision. I don't feel like being here. I feel like God's calling me into the ministry. I want to go to Bible college. No, you can't go to Bible college. What do you mean? Well, look, you finish up, you know, get your degree first, and then we can talk about Bible college later. And they discourage the child. I have seen this so many times, over and over again. I'm not against people going to college. If that's what God calls you to do, go. Go to university, get your master's degree, get your PhD. If God's calling you to do that, do that. But what happens is so often when God's calling somebody to do something a bit unconventional or something that's not quite what the parent planned for the child's life, then, you know, well, look, we got to really think about this. We got to reconsider this. Maybe we should get the kid over to the psychologist, see what's going on in his head, you know. Wants to just go out and trust God. You can't, what do you mean trust God, you know? You got to have an education. You got to get a career before you. This is how people think. When Cheryl and I were dating, she was going to a university to get her degree, and I had not the slightest inclination to ever go to a university for any reason. And we got together and we met and we were falling in love and feeling like God was calling us to get married and feeling like God was calling us into the ministry. And there were a lot of people in those days that pulled her aside and said, "Oh, honey, you know, I understand that you like this boy and all that, but you know, you really need to, you know, you're in school, you got to get your education, you got to finish. And, you know, what kind of a job does he have anyway? How much money does he make? And, you know, is he going to get a haircut? Or what about that clunky car that he's driving around?" You know, I'm exaggerating with some of that stuff. But, you know, that was kind of the idea behind a lot of that questioning. And I think, wow, what if we would have succumbed to that kind of pressure? What if we would have given in? We would have missed out on a whole world of glorious things God wanted to do in and through our lives. So, you need to be fully convinced, because the devil, other people, and even fellow Christians will sometimes try to undermine your faith. So, we need to be fully convinced, as Abraham was. Now, what was he fully convinced of? He was fully convinced that what God promised, he was able to perform. Now, has God made you promises? Has God made you promises? I believe that God promises us things. I believe that God is actively working, or at least desiring to work in each one of our lives. I firmly believe, as I know many of you do, I believe that God has a call on every one of our lives. He has a specific plan and purpose for our lives. He has something that he has ordained for us to do with the life that he has given to us. Do you believe that yourself? Has God made you promises? Are you sure it was God? This is a very important point. Are you sure it was God? Now, I don't want to cast doubt into anybody's heart over whether or not God has spoken anything to you, but I want to say this: it's possible to be mistaken about things we think God has promised us. It is possible. So we have to realize that it's possible. And because it is possible, we have to do our best to make sure that we're not putting our confidence in a false promise. I remember years ago, a man came to me and he told me that God had called him to pack everything in, to get his family. They were going to move to another country. And he told me God had given him a vision that he was going to go and be instrumental in bringing this great awakening to this country. And he spoke of, you know, speaking in large cathedrals and all of this kind of stuff that he told me that God told him was going to happen. So he did that very thing. He packed everything up. He took his family. They moved to that country. They lived there for probably less than a year. Their marriage almost fell apart. It was a disaster. It was a nightmare. They ended up having to, of course, pack up and come back home and kind of regroup and figure out where do we go from here. So that kind of thing can happen. We have to be aware of that. So we have to ask ourselves the question: is what I am believing, is it really from the Lord? It is not a bad thing to review and reassess what you believe that God has spoken to you. It is a good thing to do. It is a wise thing to do, to go back over it. And of course, when there's a delay in the fulfillment, you're forced to sort of go back over and over again. I have to revisit this thing over and over again. Okay, why do I think this? Why do I believe this? Why do I feel this? Okay, let me go back to that moment in time, or let me go back to those series of events where God spoke to me. But that's a good thing to do. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't think that by doing that, you're showing a lack of faith. You know, some people criticize Gideon because he put a fleece out. You remember? The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "Gideon, go in this your strength and you're going to conquer Midian." And Gideon's thinking, well, you know, you got the wrong guy. I mean, this can't really be me that you're talking about here. Nope, you're the man. I want you to go and do this. So Gideon says, "Well, can we have just a little test here? I just need a little bit of confirmation." And so, you know the story, he puts out the fleece, and God, if this is really you speaking to me, then let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet, or let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And so sure enough, he gets up in the morning, the ground is wet, the fleece is dry. Wow, great, okay. Let's try one more. Some people say, no, that was a lack of faith. No, that was using your head. That was okay. Man, if you're going to go do something like that, you want to make as sure as you can. There's always going to be an element of faith. There's always going to be the necessity to take a step of faith. But God doesn't call us to take blind faith. He gives us evidences. He gives us words of encouragement. He gives us confirmation. So Gideon comes back and he says, okay, this time let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. And sure enough, that was the case. But then a little later on, he even asked for one more. And, you know, the Lord gave it. The Lord didn't say, you know, Gideon, you lack faith. Just don't ask any more confirmation. When we're wanting to do God's will and we believe that God has spoken to us, we want to, as much as we possibly can, we want to get confirmation that, yes, Lord, this is you. This is what you've told me. Because in some cases, the stuff is going to be, it's going to be so amazing that it's going to be hard to conceive of. It's going to be hard to believe. And Abraham is a case in point. Here's one man, as we've already pointed out, 100 years old, a wife who's 90. And God says, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the seashore. That sounded like the most impossible promise that could have ever been given. And so Abraham, as we walk through the details of his life, we find that he had his struggles. He didn't waver or stagger to the point that he threw away his faith. He continued to trust God, but he certainly had those moments where he was saying, Lord, now I thought you told me this, and if you told me that, then why is this happening this way? But like others, he was seeking out that confirmation from the Lord. So don't be afraid to do that. Go back. Make sure. Probably one of the hardest things I ever have done in my life, some of you know the story, Cheryl and I, at one point in time, we took our family and we moved to the United Kingdom and we started a church in London. And that was, it had its challenges, obviously, to just pack up and move and do all of that. And, you know, maybe it was hard a little bit, but we were so excited about it, we didn't think about the difficulties. The hardest thing that I had to do was not move to England. The hardest thing I had to do was move back from England. That was the hardest decision to make for me. Because in some ways, it just didn't seem to make that much sense. We'd only been there a few years. The work was just getting started. The church was beginning to grow. And there we were with this beautiful thing that was happening. And, you know, then we start to sense that God's calling us back. And I'm just thinking, Lord, wait, you know, this just doesn't make that much sense. It's, you know, this is like a baby. And what about the baby? We don't want to leave the baby. That's how I felt. And, you know, going back to California, I mean, there's so much in California. There's so many great churches. There's so many great ministries. There's so many wonderful things. And, Lord, there's so little over here. And, you know, it was a big struggle for me. And so I had to keep going back to the Lord over and over again. Lord, are you sure? Is this really what you want us to do? And I remember finally getting to a point where I was sort of driving myself crazy with this decision. And I remember one night thinking, if I don't get a grip, I'm going to lose my mind over this. And I remember just saying again, Lord, okay, this is what I believe you're calling us to do. I had this going for me. It wasn't like I was trying to do it. It wasn't like I wanted to do it. So often people think, oh, you guys came back to California. Yeah, the sun, the beach, you know, all that cold stuff over there and all that. That was never a factor. Never even crossed my mind. it was a sense that this is what God was saying that he wanted us to do. And so one night, what I finally did is I just did this. I said, okay, Lord, you know that, number one, I don't necessarily want to go. Number two, you know, Lord, that I want to do your will. That's what I want to do more than anything else. So this is what I settled on. If I'm making a mistake, I realize this. God is good. He's my Father. He loves me. If I'm making a mistake, but sincerely trying to do the right thing, what's God going to do? He's not going to hate me for it. He's not going to kill me. He's not going to judge me. He would just simply correct me. So I said, okay, Lord, if I'm making a mistake and I get back to California and that's not what your will is, and I suddenly realize it, then I'll just get on a plane and I'll come right back. And I had peace. I was able to rest. But as I said, I went through this, is this what you're calling me to do, Lord? I needed more confirmation. And the funny thing was, every time I would kind of come up with a counter strategy, you know, it was like, okay, how about if we do it like this? The Lord would always come back with, no, this is what I have for you. So, all of that again to say, make sure, as much as humanly possible, make sure that you're genuinely trusting in a promise that God has made. Make sure that this is something that God has spoken to you. And go through that process. Review it. Revisit it. Reassess it. Think it over. Ask the Lord, Lord, if I've got something wrong here, just show me. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to just being absolutely honest and sincere before the Lord. Lord, I want to do your will. If I'm going in the wrong direction, then please, by all means, show me. I don't want to go in the wrong direction. If I'm hoping in the wrong thing, Lord, I don't want to hope in the wrong thing. And as we do that, then I think that we can have that kind of thing, that full convincing that Abraham had, that what God has promised, he is able to perform. So, again, I ask the question, has God made you promises? Maybe it's a promise about the return of a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe it's a promise about the salvation of a husband or a wife. Maybe it's the promise of deliverance from debt. Maybe it's the promise of the restoration of your health or the health of a loved one. Maybe it's the promise of love and marriage and children. Maybe it's the promise of fruitfulness and blessing in ministry. Maybe it's the promise of God using you in a greater way. I firmly believe, as I'm saying, that God gives us individual promises, specific promises that are just for us. Of course, he gives us all collectively lots of great and glorious promises, the promise of eternal life and all of the blessings in Christ. That belongs to us all collectively as God's people, and we, of course, benefit from it individually. But I do believe that as an individual person, God's going to speak things to me that he's not going to speak to you, and he's going to speak things to you that he's not going to speak to me, and he's going to do things with you that he's not doing with me, and so on. And he's going to bring those words to you, and he's going to speak them to your heart when you're meditating on the scriptures, or he's going to speak them to your heart through a message, or he's going to speak it as someone just shares with you. Or, you know, there's so many ways that the Lord does it. But, you know, there's these things that come to us, and they just, you know, it's hard to even explain it, but I think many of you know what I'm talking about. You just get a sense like, man, the Lord just spoke to me. There's just something that resonates in your soul. You just know, man, God just said this. And so whatever that promise is, whatever that thing that just resonated in the very depths of your soul is that God has spoken to you, that's what we're talking about. Believe that. That's what faith does. Faith believes it. The circumstances might mitigate against it. It might look like, well, no, how could that happen? It just doesn't seem logical. I can't understand it. But you know God's spoken. That's the thing. So Has God made you promises? Have those promises seemed to be delayed? Are there forces and things at work that seem to contradict all that you believe that God had promised? Have you begun to think that maybe it was all wishful hoping on your part? Are you perhaps wavering a bit at the promises of God? You see, as I said earlier, this is a common thing. Know this, you're not the only one that's waiting. There, it just seems almost universal that when God gives promises, he rarely fulfills them in an instant. I mean, he occasionally does. I'm not saying he doesn't at all. Of course, in some cases, he would need to do that with healings and things of that nature. But, you know, when you look at the pages of Scripture, I mean, think of Joseph. Joseph has these dreams that he's going to rule over his brothers. And he does eventually, doesn't he? When he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. But what happens in between? You know, in those visions, he didn't see being sold into slavery. He didn't see Potiphar's house. He didn't see the prison experience. He didn't see any of that. He just saw the fulfillment of the promise, but there was a lot that was between the giving of the promise and the fulfilling of the promise. And of course, again, with Abraham, we have that same thing with Moses. Moses sensed that there was a calling upon his life to deliver the people, but it would be 40 years later that it would begin to materialize. Or you think of David, who's anointed as the king, and there's clearly the sense of God's hand and call on his life, but between the anointing of Samuel and being crowned on the throne, there were all of those years of testing and trial and challenges and difficulty. So, sometimes there is a delay. Quite often, there is a delay. And it's during the delays, and as the forces are there seeming to contradict, this is when the temptation to falter in our faith comes. This is when we start to waver. This is when we begin to question and wonder, well, did God really say that to me? Listen, remember Abraham. He did not consider his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, and from this one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And it was all because he believed God. He hung on to the promise. Hang on to those promises. The promise God has given you for your kids that have wandered away, hang on to the promise. Believe the promise. Continue to give God the glory for what he's promised you to do, and he's going to fulfill that for what he's promised that he would do. And whatever those things might be, hold on to them, believe them. And here is that wonderful word from Habakkuk. We'll close with this. I've replaced the word vision with the word promise. The actual word is vision. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but I think we can legitimately put promise here. The promise is yet for an appointed time, though it tarries, though it's delayed, wait for it. Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will surely come. God keeps his promises. And though they be delayed, seemingly, we think they're delayed, but they're not delayed. God's got the perfect time schedule. He's working out everything according to his perfect timing. We are by nature impatient, and by culture, we are extremely impatient. But God's not in a hurry. He's working things out. The promise is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. God's going to fulfill those promises that he's made to you, to me, to all of his children. He's going to fulfill the bigger promises that he's made in his word concerning this planet, concerning the environment, concerning the nations. He's going to fulfill it all. we can trust Him to do.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of the death and resurrection of Christ. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Living and Walking by Faith. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0117. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.